Welcome to the Nonprofit Renaissance. Thanks for subscribing, for listening, and we're excited about today's episode.
It's going to be amazing. We want to go further and grow faster, and we're going to help you do that today with our guest. And so without further ado, Eugene Stutzman. Stutzman, I got that right, right?
Stutzman, close enough.
Oh, Stutz.
Come okay. on. We practiced all week.
Literally 30 seconds ago.
All week
so,
for me.
Almost nailed it. So,
which
Eugene,
means a man of the hills.
Man of the hills.
Something is that like better? That's yes. better than yes. saying hill.
Hills. Hills from the hills. Absolutely.
Hey, Eugene is executive director of Watoto here out in the U.S. And I've known him, followed him for a few years now, and several friends and ministries together, and but has been with Watoto.com. We'll talk about the ministry in a second. For over 15 years. Is that right, Eugene?
Yeah, 15 years in this current role plus two additional years prior to this.
Which we'll talk about what you did, how you started, and how you can also maybe start at Watoto. But tell us a little, for those who don't know, for those who living under some kind of rock that never heard, but
living in the hills.
Worldwide global church and ministry, and with incredible impact. My wife and I have been fans and supporters for years now. Tell us about Watoto and break it down.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me here today.
Absolutely.
And so Watoto is, first of all, a church in Uganda, a local church, was founded in the early 80s by Canadian missionaries Gary and Marilyn Skinner. They moved to Uganda in a time of the history of the country where people were leaving. People were fleeing the country because of violence and political violence. Mm-hmm. On the heels of Idi Amin, people have probably heard of Idi Amin, a very evil dictator. That was the environment they moved into. They felt God called them to move there and plant an English-speaking church.
Wow.
And the vision that God gave to Pastor Gary was that through that church, God would bring healing to the city and the nation. Mm. And so they were faithful. They moved there with their small children, planted this church, and it began to grow. And then in the late 80s is when the AIDS epidemic really hit Africa, and especially Uganda. And it left about 2 million children orphaned. And the vision and the mission of the church was to care for community. Even today, the mission is celebrate Christ, care for community. And so the greatest need at that time was to care for these orphan children. There was no social services, you know, that the government provided. And so kids were left to fend for themselves in the streets. And so as a church, they just began caring for children. And that was in the early 90s that Watoto Child Care Ministries was founded as an outreach of that local church.
Gotcha.
And so that's where we are now, you know, 20, 30 years later.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have over 3,000 children living in residential care, being cared for through this local church.
That's amazing. And you were talking earlier, as a legal guardian, is that fair?
That's correct. Yeah. Watoto is the legal guardian for the children. We have a team of social workers. So when children are referred to us through other agencies in Uganda, our social workers go through the court systems of Uganda and actually get care orders, and we are the legal guardian for these children.
That's amazing.
That's pretty different than a lot of child sponsorship orgs. That's a big step.
It is different. So yeah, it's more than Watoto is more than an after school program or a feeding program. We care for the children 24/7. We provide everything that they need, from home education, medical care, discipleship, sports, everything that a child needs, we provide it.
Amazing.
Wow.
And now the word, just for those even listening and saw the title, Watoto, it means
children.
Children.
It's a Swahili word. It means children. Yeah. Like multiple children.
So it's not the neighborhood where the, or has it become the neighborhood or the street now by now?
it's our name and it's our brand really. It's Watoto Church. It's Watoto Child Care Ministries.
Tell me about this. Watoto, global ministry, 501c3 in the U.S., and we're talking with nonprofit leaders leading ministries, nonprofit organizations in this space. How does it break down? And give us insight on how a global organization of this magnitude operates in the U.S., and then we'll talk a little bit about the strategies, because I've seen the success of the result of the ministry, the impact in the children's lives. We've hosted, we've gotten to host on the tours, you know, some of the choir members in our home, which has been special. How does it operate? Give us an insight of how the global ministry operates.
Yeah, just a little background there. So the ministry started in Uganda before there was ever an office here in Tampa. And the choirs actually began touring before there was an office here in Tampa. And it was one of those early tours. In fact, our founders, Gary and Marilyn, were the leaders of those tours. They
Wow.
would come with the kids and travel with them. It was on one of those tours they met a pastor, actually over near Orlando, who suggested to them that they form a nonprofit organization in the United States to help facilitate donations and that kind of thing. So they formed a legal entity, a board of directors who govern the operations of our ministry here in the States. And so, yes, we're now, since 1997,
gotcha,
we were incorporated and formed a nonprofit organization, 501c3. And so I report directly to the board of directors here in the States, but I also connect relationally with our team in Uganda because we're a church-led organization. So I don't operate my office independent of the vision of the ministry in Uganda. I want to serve that vision, and our entity in the United States exists to fulfill and support and fund that vision.
Nice.
Which is raising future leaders, caring for community, all the things that we do at Watoto. And so I do report to our board. Our U.S. board approves our expenditures, our annual budget. So we have to abide by all those legal obligations that we're required to exist here in the States. And so we have all those facilities in place. And yet I report, not that I report, but I connect relationally, and I serve the vision of
Absolutely.
Our leadership team. That's where our vision comes from. I don't want to have a competing vision
of course.
With our visionaries in Uganda.
And we also know, and I've met some, there's some leaders and offices. Is it Asia, Brazil, and Australia? Are there more around the world?
There are, yeah. Canada, England. We have a couple smaller offices in Europe that work together as a Europe entity.
So I guess all Brazil.
Brasil, so, yeah.
I'll be so, happy about that one.
Tudo bem, pessoal do Brasil, escutando? Um abraço para vocês aí do watoto.com.
Wow, okay.
I like that.
Very
idea.
Good.
We got you. We're international.
We know
too.
That
we're
you speak a lot of languages.
We don't have offices there, but we'll send the podcast over to you. Eugene, tell me this, and we'll get into some further stats and where they can hear more information about Watoto. But in helping leaders, as some are just starting their leadership, nonprofit leadership, some have been in it for years. Break down this. Give me a practical scenario with meeting global leaders. Is it once a year you guys get together? Is it a lot of Zoom calls, phone calls, WhatsApp, crazy style over time zones don't exist, or do they? How does that work out? Give me a day in the life of Eugene and the global leadership.
Yeah, so I have the counterparts of like myself and other offices, the executive directors of those country offices. We meet together in Uganda twice a year with our Ugandan leadership team. And those meetings are really to be relational, to be connected, mm-hmm. to get to know each other, our ministry is relational. So, and Ugandans are highly relational. So those are important times to be together. We certainly go visit the villages and the projects, the things that we've sent funds for. We get to go and see those things and, you know, ensure that funds are being used the way they were intended to be used. But it's really about connection and relationship. And so twice a year we get together.
Nice.
Then we do have, throughout parts of the year, except for the summer months, we have a monthly Zoom call with that same team of all the country directors, and just to make sure we're on the same page, we're chasing the same vision, and not being independent of the vision of the greater ministry.
Very nice.
Yeah. What would you say is like what takes the majority of your time day to day? Like what are you really like working on right now? And like what's your main push here in the States?
So I have a team right now of staff that do all the practical day to day operations. So a lot of my work is just coordinating and managing that team. As a leader myself, I'm not a very, I don't micromanage, I should say. So
that's great.
So when I hire staff, I look for people who are, of course, competent to do the role, but then make sure that they're upfront, they're driven to do it.
Yeah.
And so, and I've been really blessed to have an amazing team over the years of staff who have a personal passion for the work that we do. And so I'm able to turn a responsibility over to them and know it's going to be handled and that kind of thing. So, but a lot of that, Colin, is to make sure my team is resourced, that they have the tools and resources they need to do their job. And then, and a lot of it is also then relating with donors and people who partner with Watoto and give of their resources to help Watoto do what it does. And so, you know, writing letters and phone calls and emails and gratitude, or going to visit donors and just showing appreciation, because people sacrifice to,
absolutely.
You know, I know there's many sponsors who have been sponsors for 15, 20 years, and they sacrifice to give to Watoto, and that means a lot to us. So being able to take time to express that gratitude is a priority for us.
I love it. It's been 15 years as director, but you didn't start there. You didn't jump into this director leadership role doing amazing podcasts with, you know, guys like Colin. But tell us how you started, because that's how we met, too. I think first time I met Eugene was on stage.
Oh, wow.
And he was holding a microphone, and it wasn't doing a podcast. Yeah. Tell us more about your background, Eugene.
So my background, I'm from Ohio. Originally, that's where I was born and grew up. And my father was a carpenter, building houses his whole life. And so when I graduated high school, I felt that's where I was going to go with my life as well. And I did. I worked with him for a number of years.
Just like Jesus. Yep. Might as well, yeah.
Yep, the Lord's work for sure. And helped build houses. I was his foreman for a number of years. Eventually became the general manager of the contractor that we worked. We were subcontractors doing the carpentry work. Became the general manager for a few years. And then eventually started my own contracting business. And So it was a design build company. And when I started that business, I thought, okay, now I've arrived. This is the career that, you know, God has laid out for me. And it was going well. I was good at it. I built, you know, some nice homes and had some nice projects. And then Watoto came in and interrupted everything.
All that.
So our first experience with Watoto was seeing the choir. So the children's choir came to our church in Ohio. And I remember the choir. It wasn't the choir itself that moved me fully to get involved, but there were some men in our church that decided that as a church, we should go to Uganda and help serve this ministry. So they coordinated a short-term, two-week mission trip, and it was a construction project to help build one of the villages where the children live. So one Sunday morning, they got up and shared that we're going to go to Uganda, and we're going to do this project. And the construction aspect of the trip was what hooked me.
Of course.
And so...
if you have a hammer, if you're good with wood.
Yeah. And our founder, Pastor Gary, often he shares a message of you know, we talk about what is our purpose and that kind of thing. He always asks the question, what's in your hand? Mm. What's the gift that God has given you? If you're a teacher, maybe it's a pencil. If you're a pastor, it's the Bible. If it's a builder, it's a hammer. Like, what is that resource in your hand that God has given you to that he can use for the kingdom? So we went on that trip and saw the work that Watoto is doing and just fell in love with the vision. And we saw kids that were formerly living in streets now living in homes with a mother. They're going to school. They're clean. They're dressed well. They're happy. And we just saw the potential that's in these kids and saw how it's going to impact the nation. It's already impacting the nation. And so we fell in love with that idea. And 2 days before we left Uganda on that trip to come back home, one of the employees, one of the staff from Watoto had got to know my background. I was a worship leader at our small church in Ohio. It was a volunteer position that I was in, but involved in music most of my life in youth choirs, men's quartet. I sang in Southern gospel music for a couple of years. And he pulled me aside before we came back, and he said, Eugene, we desperately need leaders for our children's choir. Would you and your wife consider leading a choir? And in that moment, being a Christian, and I believe the Holy Spirit leads us, but in that moment, it was as if God was telling me, this is what I want you to do, and my heart just began to race.
Wow.
And I pulled my wife aside like an hour later and expressed this to her, and to my surprise, she wasn't shocked. She's like...
She was aligned.
I think we need to consider this.
Wow.
And so...
Now, the invitation was for, in Uganda, a position in Uganda, per se, and you were living in the U.S.,
correct. So it was, leading the choir. So the choir is trained for 5 months. So it involved living in Uganda for 5 months each year.
That's massive. That's huge.
And then, yes.
That's huge. That's not just a
huge change.
A remote job you can phone in.
Yeah. And then, of course, then leading the choir on tour wherever. We didn't know where the tour would go at that point.
Wow.
Because there's multiple choirs each year that go all over the world. And so we could have ended up anywhere. But we came home and began to pray about it. The biggest issue was my business. I owned a business and I had contracts for homes to be built. And so we began to pray about, you know, what we can do. And that was in, I believe that was January of 2004 was that trip. That summer, in July 4th weekend, my wife and I were traveling to Illinois, which is where her family is from. We were going to visit for the holidays. And I got a call on my cell phone, and a gentleman from Colorado, he's my first cousin, and... we didn't speak often. We would, you know, every couple of years at the family reunion, we would catch up. So I hadn't told anyone about what we were thinking except our parents and siblings. And we were, you know, praying about what to do. So he called me and he had heard through the grapevine what we were thinking about. And he said, what are you doing with your business? And I said, I don't know. We're praying about what to do. It's either hire someone to run it or sell it or shut it down. And he said, well, I'm planning to move my family back to Ohio next year. I'm
going
to talk to you about buying your business.
Wow.
And so, again, God just opened all the doors for us, removed all the obstacles that we were concerned about. And by the end of that year, end of 2004, we sold the company. And in March 2005, we were on a plane back to Uganda to begin working with the choir.
That's amazing.
So you did that for 2 years. And
yeah, so
now.
We led two choirs. First choir was through England, Spain, and France. And then the second choir was the Midwest United States and a month in Brazil. We were the first choir to go to Brazil.
Oh, very cool.
And which was incredible. It was Brazil was an amazing experience.
Was it Sao Paulo, Rio, or North part? Where?
All of those. All of it. Yeah, central region, just all over.
Brazil is massive.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's huge.
Quick question, though, before we go on to the director level. So you built something before that even started as a volunteer. You built a home or you put a roof on something?
It was one of the administrative buildings at the school
in
one of the villages.
So the question everybody's asking is it still standing? Did it last?
It's still standing.
There it is.
And I can take you there today and point to the bricks that I laid.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So if you ever do need to go back, you're good. You got the qualification.
I love it. Awesome. I love it. No, and I think that's important. Watoto, I was introduced to Watoto the same way through the choir, and it's a wing or a department or of the ministry that's impactful. It's strategic because it's a ministry, and I love the stories that come out of the leadership stories, the music, and the career paths that come out. It's a beautiful thing. This last video that, and we can share a link, sharing the stories of these kids, where they were, where they are, the professions. Man, we're watching it at the last concert, and it was just mind-blowing to see all the careers and the future, the bright future that these children have as a result. But the choir and the music and the approach, tell me about the strategy there and how did it start? You said first tour to South America. For those listening, praying, seeking a strategy. And, you know, obviously music and the choir has been a big ministry and fundraising and marketing and branding and excellent. I think you guys did an excellent job across the board. Give us a behind the scenes on how it started.
So our founders, Gary and Marilyn, are both very creative and artistic. They're both musicians. Before they were married, they were traveling on a Christian rock band doing evangelism. And
what band? What band?
I don't know. They never given us the name. Oh. Or if they did, I've forgotten what it was. But they would travel. They had a semi. They would travel and open it up and do these rock concerts in the streets and evangelize.
In Canada?
Yes.
Probably,
Canada,
yeah.
And maybe the U.S. I don't actually know the
Canadian full history
of it. Canadian
Jesus People Hippies, man. We got to give it a band name. If the Skinners are not going to tell us, we'll give them a name.
There you go. And Gary was a singer and a guitar player. Marilyn played keyboards.
Gotcha.
And so they have that musical background. So fast forward to the church. The church is planted. They began, 10 years in, they began caring for children. And again, I guess the Lord, this is Gary's account of the story, is that God spoke to him and said, you need to put together a group of kids as a choir and travel the world and tell the world what God is doing in Uganda. And so he shared the idea with Marilyn. And this is an amazing, amazing story of faith. Marilyn went to the British Airways office. Now, this time they're a small to medium-sized church in Uganda, but not a lot of resource. They don't have, money just to go flying all over the world. And so they went to the British Airways office in Kampala and explained what their goal was. We want to take a group of orphan children around the world and share this story. And so she said, but we don't have money. Can we buy tickets on credit? And once after the tour is finished, we'll have revenue to pay for the tickets. And they said, yeah, we can do that.
What?
And they asked, where do you want to go? And she's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. So
not sure yet.
She said, do you have a map? So they brought a map out of North America, and she said, Chicago's in the middle of a flight to Chicago.
No way.
So they brought this group of children and a group of adults. They were the chaperones and the band. They took the sound system out of their church. Remember, there's no office here. There's no bus waiting for them. Yeah. There's no staff here with bookings. They arrived in Chicago without any concerts booked.
Stop.
And this is back in the day of phone booths and yellow pages.
What year was this?
This is 94.
Wow.
Different world. They didn't have an iPhone or they couldn't go on Google and search for top 100.
He goes to the phone booth
and
starts calling churches in the yellow pages and says, we just landed at the airport with a group of orphan children from Uganda. Can we come and sing at your church?
That's incredible.
A complete step of faith. And so this is the foundation of our ministry is our founders completely faithful to God's calling.
Wow.
And it's what keeps us driving today is that that drive, that zeal to follow the call of God in our lives. And so, and it was, they went wherever the Lord led them. Whenever there was an open door or an invitation, that's where the choir went.
That's incredible.
That is.
That's incredible.
I can't imagine.
Did they ever pay for the ticket? when they got
is that
back?
Still on credit? Yeah,
it's still there. They have an open credit. They're part owners in British Airways at the moment.
Yeah, they did. They were able to pay the tickets. And actually, after the second concert or so, they had enough offering money to buy an old yellow school bus.
Come on.
And so that's how they traveled. That first tour, first couple tours was on a yellow school bus.
That's incredible.
Gary was the driver. And but now, you know, today we have a team here. We have an office that helps coordinate. We book all the tours.
How many shows do they do on that original?
On the original tour?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that one.
As many as they could get.
As many as they could, yeah. So I'd love to one day recreate that tour, but there's not a lot of history from those days. Like, we don't know where all they stopped and all that.
So we've got dibs on the documentary here. How about that?
Yeah.
on the Watoto. Awesome.
Do you know if any of those, the kids that were in that choir, do you know if any of them are still involved in Watoto today and in what capacity? Or
they could be. I mean, there's in the video that Eric just mentioned, there's a young girl, the very first child that Watoto rescued, is now the head of finance at a national supermarket in Uganda. And that's the video, the story. And so I don't know that she was on that first tour, but again, we'd have to go back and do a little digging and see who all those kids were on the first tour and where they are now. That'd be amazing.
But just back to, you know, what a beautiful picture of figuring it out, having the guts, because there's a leadership aspect, there's a business aspect of like figuring out the finances to take a group overseas in a moment where uncertainty, and I think a lot of leaders go through that, whether it's looking at economy or looking at how the you know marketplace is looking and maybe holding back or maybe, but truly trusting the cause, the mission, the calling, and whatever the greater purpose is. And for what a beautiful, I did not know that story. That's fantastic. And to have that, to see God honor that step of faith in the unknown, talk about trusting God and, you know, seeking him first above all.
Would you say that spirit is still kind of there? Like, you know, like does that, like that just, you know, trusting and relying on the mission and faith has kind of carried through, and is that still kind of like a big way that you guys obviously it's, you know, you've, like you said, you've got these global support offices, but like, does that still kind of a foundational almost value?
It is. Yeah. It's one of our core values. And Eritus mentioned earlier about excellence. And so that's also, excellence is also one of our core values. And so everything we do is we want to be spirit led. We don't want to go somewhere where the Lord hasn't led us. Mm-hmm. And so in Uganda, they've planted, so Watoto is a church, and so we have multiple campuses in Uganda. We planted a church in northern Uganda, in Gulu. This was after Joseph Kony. You've heard the history of northern Uganda. Joseph Kony was a rebel that would abduct children and force them to be soldiers. We planted a church in that region right after all the fighting and everything died down. We sent a team in, planted a church, because we feel God calls us to go to the dark places and bring healing to that environment.
Wow.
And so same thing, it's probably been longer than I imagine. It must be 8, 9, 10 years ago, we planted a church in Juba in South Sudan. Right after South Sudan seceded from Sudan, became an independent nation, we went in and planted a church in South Sudan. And so that faith is definitely still there. Personally, in my life, you know, the change that we made was a huge step of faith for us. But again, being encouraged by the founders of Watoto and the incredible faith they demonstrated to start the organization, I thought, God's calling me to move from Ohio to Uganda. Uganda is now, by the time we moved there in 2005, was, you know, there's a modern city, it's Kampala. And so it was, it was a huge change, but nothing compared to what Gary and Marilyn went through in the 80s.
You know, that brings this up. It's something that's a thread for organizations, churches, nonprofits. And I think what makes Eugene successful for the last 15 years plus, one is this, the founders, nobody has a founder story unless you're a founder, right? So that, but the ability to cast vision and storytell and help somebody who joined the team, let's say someone joined the Watoto team 2 weeks ago, they have a different understanding.
Yeah.
They jump into an office with a full, you know, onboarding.
A well-oiled machine,
Right? And I think it's important for leaders like yourself, which you do, which is why you're here at this podcast, which is why you agreed, you know, joyfully to share these stories, to help cast vision internally for your team, for those who Never heard of a Toto till this podcast, and then aren't looking them up. But that important, it's to retell the stories, right? We see it in scripture, right? One, the storytelling method, how Jesus shared in from parables to casting vision, not saying, and stats are important, scripture, but the story. And you've done that so well. I mean, it's inspirational to help cast that passion and put somebody in that, you know, in Chicago on a phone, opening the phone book, helping them see they were sweating and figuring out, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we trust the one who's got it. So, so well done with that, Eugene. And I think that's a big aspect.
Can you talk about that? Is there some sort of organizational standard that you guys have for, because you talked about you want to hire leaders who, you know, you don't have to micromanage, who are ready to go get stuff done. Do you guys have an organizational standard of how you onboard people and how you really take this mission that is probably not necessarily theirs innately and get them on board with that?
Yeah. So being a faith-based organization, we do require our staff to be believers. It would be really a conflict for someone to come into our environment, in our office environment, even though we're administrative in a sense. Well, we are administrative. But, you know, when we're talking on the phone with a donor or a sponsor who's called in or whatever the case is, we want to be led by Christ, but led by the Spirit to respond to that call or that email. And so it wouldn't serve our ministry well to have a non-believer in a seat fielding phone calls from donors. And so in that sense, there are requirements that we have as a ministry.
It's a good starting place. You know you're starting on the same page with someone who's new coming in.
Right. And going back to vision, we mentioned earlier about the meetings we have in Uganda, and vision is the first day of those meetings is always vision. Mm-hmm. And again, vision is one of the values of our ministry. And so our leadership, so it's always been Gary and Marilyn, and there's been a change in leadership, which maybe we'll talk about in a minute. But that first day is always about vision. Where did we come from? Where we are now and where we're going. Because we always say vision leaks, and so it needs to be topped up. So there's stories of the origins of Watoto that I've heard hundreds of times because it's important.
Yes.
And we have to hear those. And so, and those stories are shared with new staff that come on. There is a feature length documentary that is available that I have my new staff watch so they can see those.
Love it. Wow.
They see the full story of how Watoto was founded. They hear the stories that we just talked about a minute ago about those incredible stories of faith that our organization is built on. And so, I have them watch those videos
is there a way we can link that for our listeners as well?
Absolutely.
If they're looking to apply and commit their lives to Watoto and serve,
or just if they want to, you know, support in other ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'll share that link with you guys.
Cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Tell me this. You talked about excellence earlier, and just to paint a picture for those of you, listening, we partnered a few years ago, with the Watoto Choir. In our church, Grace Family Church, with Eugene also attends and serves at, we had a challenge of how do we replicate this choir in multiple locations at once? And I think it was a highlight for me in helping produce and orchestrate that. And what we did was this, just the short version, is we were able to replicate an HD choir image, multiple screens at multiple locations at the same time. And what was fascinating, so it was great that our entire congregation got to experience the choir on a weekend and multiple locations simultaneously via video and interactive. And the excellence factor, the excellence and the quality and the attention to detail, the team in Uganda collaborating with us was inspiring. It was inspiring. And so they've ministered and they blessed our team so much. But do you remember that?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your experience on your end.
Yes. Well, it was, I think it was Brittany that came and asked the question, can we involve the Watoto Choir in our Christmas concert somehow?
Yeah.
And so I reached out to our team in Uganda. We have a creative team there. We have a studio. You know, all of our albums for the choir are recorded at our studio. We have great talent in Uganda. There's incredible talent. And so... And being that Grace Family Church is an amazing partner, we wanted to make this happen and bless the church that way. So yeah, there was some unique soloists that were on LED screens singing duets with a live person on stage. There was guys on drums on video, you know, playing. And then there was a drum, what'd they call it?
A drum break.
Between the guys on the video.
A drum battle.
Oh, really? Between live and like, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, drummer on video playing an African drum. Then you have the live drummer on the drum kit in the stage there. So there was this drum battle going on. And then the kind of the climax of the song, the choir comes on the video. It was a really, really powerful moment, and really beautiful as well.
Yeah, and so much so that I think we did it for the concert, and it was so popular, people came back to see, you know, another service because they wanted to see the moment. And then it was even more popular that they wanted, we played it back on the Christmas services because people wanted, like, it was just impactful. It was
more.
Just,
yeah, more.
They want to see it again.
Yeah.
So that was a great moment.
What have you learned, and maybe even just specifically with the choir, are there principles that you've learned about, like, you know, are there churches and places that you go that, like, want these sorts of special things, and are you kind of like trying to figure out and problem solve on the fly, or is it you guys kind of have it down to where it's like, this is what we do, and how does that work?
Yeah, so those special events like that are unique, and but they're becoming more frequent. So the one we did with Grace was probably the most elaborate to date.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I blame Brittany. So yeah,
but we've done a few like just individual song recordings with other artists that, you know, you go into a studio and record. You know, it's pretty straightforward. But this was unique and complex, but it came together beautifully. A couple other churches now that are interested in doing something like that. This November we're going to be taking the choir up to a church in Novi in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they're launching their missions objectives for next year. Each November, they launch their missions
for the next
ideas
year.
For the next year. And next year is their year of Africa.
Oh, cool.
And so they asked the choir to come. And first, it was going to be just a few recordings. Then they asked, could the choir come and be there live? And it happened to work on our schedule that we could detour them up to Detroit. And so that's going to happen. We're going to be involved in their Sunday morning missions launch. Our choir will be performing with their worship team.
Nice.
There'll be some video elements as well. The choir will do a special number with some special video elements. And so, but yeah, we have a team in Uganda that can help produce those things. And it's a way to help share the story.
Big time.
But also demonstrate that there's a new Africa coming. It's Africa is not, I think a lot of people have a perception about Africa that's probably not accurate. And so as a ministry, we believe the future of Africa is incredibly bright.
Your ambassadors, really.
Yeah.
Right to the country.
Yeah. So, and I would have probably imagined this when the first time I went to Africa, well, actually before Watoto, I went to Ghana on a mission trip. It was, my goodness, that's been 26 years ago, probably. And I experienced extreme poverty. That's the first time I really was immersed in abject poverty. And I just felt so hopeless. I thought, how can anyone ever solve this? How will this ever be fixed? Our mission on that trip was evangelism. And thousands of people got saved on the trip. But I left that trip thinking, what have we done? Like, these kids are still in the streets without clothes, without food, without parents. Who's going to take care of them? Like, I left just feeling...
Or how can I leave? And yeah, who's going to...
Yeah. Yeah, so it had all those feelings of... but then I always contrast that when I came to Watoto the first time on that mission trip that we talked about earlier, and I saw the potential, and I saw, okay, now here's a method, here's a program that's working, here's a
strategy,
that's making an impact, and so that's what I think the contrast of those two trips is what really solidified the impression it made in my life, seeing the impact Watoto's having.
It gave you hope. And with to that, Eugene, give our listeners some hope. So the skeptic who's like, okay, you know, yes, there's a trillion organizations that are doing, you've been in it for a good run. You've probably, you know, exceeded the expectations of a director for the years you're in. What gives you hope? Give us some hope. Is there change happening? We can go through the stats, thousands, hundreds of, you know, kids' lives transformed, single moms, and the babies rescued. Give us some hope. What are you seeing up front line? And encourage, how can they get involved? How can they be a part? Yeah.
The beautiful thing for me is seeing these kids grow up. There's those kids that I've known for 15, now 17 years. And what a personal story for me is the girl that my wife and I have sponsored for 15 years got married this past April.
Oh, wow.
So last fall when she approached me and said, hey, I'm engaged. And I've had the privilege of walking alongside this lady for 15 years.
Her whole life.
She was on our second choir as a child, a 9-year-old child.
Wow.
And so that's when we started sponsoring her.
Wow.
And every year I go to Uganda, the two times a year I go, I always try to connect with her. And as she's grown, my wife and I have been able to see her grow and walk with her through, you know, all of life's challenges.
Wow.
And, you know, starting her first job. And
did she invite you to the wedding?
Yes, we got invited, and a special invitation. She asked us to walk her down the aisle, which was an incredible privilege for us. You know, having just been able to walk with her through
it's special
through her life, and so for me, Wototo is very personal, and the impact it's having, I've seen it every time I go. There is change happening in the nation. There's political change happening. There's economic change happening, but the vision of Wototo, we talk about this in our meetings, is our vision is multi-generational. Mm-hmm. There's the change that we want to see won't be fulfilled in my lifetime. And so I have to approach my job with that in mind so that I don't get frustrated.
Gotcha.
Because if I can go to Uganda this year and I go next year, I'm like, why isn't that change? Why isn't this fixed? It takes time.
Yeah.
When we talk about raising leaders, I was 24 years old when I left home and got married. So you think about raising a child in Uganda, you're raising, that's a generation.
It
that's
is.
A whole generation of time invested in a child who then is going to turn around and bring leadership and godly character, and their life is going to impact their community. And so we understand that the change we want to see is generational. It's not going to be immediate. And so we operate with that in mind and knowing that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be a long haul.
Are there specific talking about like the future of the org and the mission and the vision of it, what specific metrics or objectives does Wototo have as far as like what problems are they trying to solve, specifically in Africa and how they're getting the world involved in that?
That's a great question because the environment has changed. And so when Wototo was founded, I mentioned the 2 million orphan children. That was the biggest need, caring for orphan children. And so when I first started in Wototo, the vision at that time, the strategy was to one day care for 10,000 children in residential care in the villages that we have. So today there's 3 villages and just over 3,000 children. But what's happened over the last several years, as the environment, as the economics and the social structures in Uganda have changed, there's a growing middle class that's up and coming in Uganda. And the average Ugandan family has more capacity to care for extended family members. So if a father passes away, his siblings are more apt to be able to care for his children in their homes. They don't need to come to an organization like Wototo. So things like that are happening. The other thing that has changed is that ARVs are a lot more available and more affordable. So it's antiretrovirals, which are used to combat AIDS.
Gotcha.
So people are living longer. They're not. The mortality rate has increased, or is it decreased? Which way does it go?
Mortality decreased.
Mortality rate is, or people are living longer. Let me just say it that
life,
way.
Life expectancy increased, right? So they're living longer.
Yeah. So the medicines are more available. People are living longer. Therefore, not as many children are being orphaned, needing complete care like Wototo offers. And so our organization, our leaders, they keep a pulse on this in Uganda. And so a decision was made a number of years ago to not build more villages because the long-term need has changed. And so, but now, because women are living longer, but most of these women are in an environment where they never finished school. They might have gone to school, started going to school, but when they reach puberty, they dropped out, and the father says, "You're a woman now, it's time to get married." So
gotcha.
A girl gets married when she's, let's say, 14 or 15.
Wow.
By the time she's 18 or 20, has 3 or 4 kids. And then when her husband either passes away or abandons her, which happens far too often, she's left with these children to care for, but she's never finished school, so she has no employable skills to get a job or to care her. She can't write her name, can't count money. Like, there's just no way to support herself. And so we've started working with women now, because I go back to Marilyn had this vision of are we just waiting for the women to die so we can care for their children? Hmm. Why don't we care for the women so they can care for their children?
Amazing.
And so a program was started several years ago. It's now called Wototo Neighborhood. So we're caring for women right in their community, and it's a 4-pillared program. We provide health care, we provide education for the children, for the women's children. We provide skills that they can be able to get employed. And then the last one is housing. And so most of these women live in the slums of the city, like in huts with just, you know, open sewers around. And it's just not an environment that anyone would want to live in. And so we began that program to begin caring for those women so they can care for their children. And then we went a step further, is why are those women in that place in the first place? Is because they never finished school. So now we're going into local rural schools out in the community and providing sanitary supplies and discipleship classes for the girls and the boys. And in northern Uganda and South Sudan, the dropout rate for girls who reach puberty is 90%.
90%.
And so we're working in 70 schools in that region. Uh-huh. And we go in every month. We provide sanitary supplies for the girls. It's underwear, pads, and soap. Mm-hmm. And then we do discipleship classes. The dropout rate in those schools has gone down to 10%.
Wow.
Which is an incredible success.
It's reversed completely.
Yeah, exactly. And so those girls now, we're preventing child marriage, child pregnancy. Those girls now have the opportunity to choose their future rather than it being defined for them by becoming a mother at 15. And so that's where the organization has changed slightly, and we want to meet the needs of the community, and those needs are changing. So we have to adapt to those needs so that we're still effective, that we're making an impact. And the long-term, the overall goal for Watoto is raising leaders, whether it's these children or it's these women, whether it's staff on our team. We all want to develop into a place that we're effectively leading and influencing our communities. And so these women now that go through Watoto Neighborhood is 2-year training and discipleship program. Many of them now have gone on to start businesses or get jobs and bought property, built their own homes, putting their kids through school. So it's an amazing experience to see that happening and to see the change that's happening in there. That's what drives us is to see those women change and the kids. Like I mentioned, our daughter that graduated and is now married, so for me personally, it's seeing kids that have gone through this journey are coming out as graduates and they're succeeding in life.
That's incredible. Well, we commend you guys, the team, your leadership, Eugene, and keep it up, because I think we've caught, we've been inspired, and to see it and to hear it is incredible. You alluded to some leadership transition and change. As John Maxwell classically has said, everything rises and falls on leadership, the importance of raising leaders and developing then godly leaders and the values. Tell me about transition, change, succession. I mean, you guys, Skinners have been leading for generation now. What's going on at the moment?
Yeah, so really from day one, when Gary and Marilyn founded Watoto Church and then Watoto Child Care Ministry, the goal was raising leaders. And so, for example, the Watoto Children's Choir, it's a great tool to share the story of Watoto, but it's also a great leadership development program for young adults. So there's young adults who've been serving and volunteering at the church in Uganda. They're identified, they serve on the choir for a few years, eventually become a team leader. Today at Watoto Church, it's a multi-campus church. And
what's the size of the church, Eugene, at the moment?
I believe it's around 30,000 people.
It's incredible.
I'm going to get this number wrong. I think it's 15 campuses.
Locations,
they've just launched two during COVID, so I need to make sure I get those numbers right. But
and talk about, just again, to put a visual, these are pillar lighthouses in the community type of churches. I mean, we're talking massive gatherings, beautiful expressions of worship, fully beautiful. Again, there's a misunderstanding sometimes. It's not, yes, there's discipleship groups and gatherings happening wherever possible, but truly light, beacons of hope in the middle of, Africa.
So. Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah, reaching into the dark places and planting a life-giving environment. Yeah. And so of those campuses that we have today, I can count at least 10 that are led by former choir leaders.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
And so you see the cycle of leadership.
Yeah.
Guys and men and women being trained and developed in leadership and then taking up a leadership role within the church and then having an effect on the next generation as well. The church has other programs Watoto Church is a cell-based church. So there's thousands of small groups that meet in the city every week. Mm. Each cell has a leader and an intern. And the goal is to grow those groups, and the intern eventually becomes, they split that cell, just like our body has cells that grow, they split.
Multiply.
The intern becomes a leader, and now he develops another intern.
Great pipeline, yeah.
And so that's a leadership development. So there's pastors that have come through that leadership development program. The church has a school called, it's the School of Community Leadership. And they provide classes to teach everyday lay people in the church to run for local government office.
Beautiful.
And so, and again, the idea is to bring godly influence to every sphere of life, every sector of the community, whether it's the arts and entertainment, whether it's politics, whether it's business, whether it's, everything. It's everything, like you said, rises and falls on leadership.
That's incredible. And the fact that you get to help them have an upbringing that's healthier, that's better, with opportunity and hope. You get to train, develop, you get to employ them. You get to launch them as arrows into the world and see that. And the patience too, right? You mentioned earlier, generational. It requires a level of patience and yep. God saying,
amen.
Because we want, right? Because you want to see it tomorrow. You know, I raised my kids and I was like, to fix it. It's patience in the growth and understanding that we may not even see the full fruit or harvest in our time. Although we get glimpses of it, which is, you know, which is exciting. What's next for Wototo? Like Colin mentioned earlier, what's next for Wototo? And then let shameless plug, tell people where to find, what they can do. The tour is going on in the U.S. By the time you're listening to this, you can still catch Wototo Choir, you know, in the U.S. For this tour. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So we touched on it a little bit earlier about Uganda and or about really Africa in general is for years, people have probably perceived Africa as a black hole. Mm-hmm. You know, resources go to Africa and nothing comes of it. But our vision for Uganda and certainly the continent of Africa is that it has a bright future. Yeah. We believe one day Africa is going to be a lending nation, not a receiving nation.
That's awesome.
A continent. And specifically, Uganda will be a lending nation. We send out our kids on the choir. We tell them, you're going out as missionaries to the world.
Love it.
We're sending you from Uganda to be missionaries to the world. And the ministry of the choir has encouraged thousands of people over the years. And so that's our vision for the nation of Uganda and the continent of Africa is there's hope. There's a brighter day. Africa's day is coming. And I'm excited to be a part of it and see it unfold. And but as far as Wototo, we're going to continue caring for children. There's children that are in need of the services that we provide and in need of care and protection. And we want to be there to protect them and help them. A lot of babies. We have two babies' homes we didn't mention where care for newborns and preemies. We have great medical care available for them. And we're going to continue rescuing babies as they're abandoned in the nation. And so, we see a bright future for our kids and for the ministry. And people can learn more at wototo.com. It's our website. There's a lot of great information, stories, videos. For people with families, with children, they can go to YouTube and search for the Wototo Children's Choir. Yep. There's incredible music videos your kids will love to sing along with and dance along with. So let it be an encouragement to them.
I love that. Tell us on succession leadership, the handoff. We're talking generational, and Wototo has done that because you literally have seen these kids grow up to be leaders, now taking on the baton. What's going on with that in Wototo?
Yeah, so when Gary and Marilyn founded the organization, that was always on their heart as to one day, how is it going to look to transition? Because they knew they weren't going to be there, you know, for the rest of their lives in terms of being in a leadership position. So they've always gone through the process of developing leaders. And so for the past 5 years, it was a very intentional process that they appointed and selected their successors in terms of leadership for Wototo Church. And so in February this past year was the final step in that process, which was a celebration service where they appointed or they
introduced or
there's another word I'm looking for.
Anointed, appointed,
commissioned.
There you go.
There was a special service in February this past year where they commissioned our new lead pastor, which is Pastor Julius Rotolonio, and his wife, Vernita, as the new team leaders of Wototo Ministries. And so today, Wototo Church and Wototo Child Care Ministries is fully led by a team of Ugandans that have been trained and developed and mentored by Gary and Marilyn.
Wow. Amazing. Full circle.
Yes. Amazing.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is, and how you pronounce his last name was beautiful as well. Say that one more time.
Did you practice that in the mirror this morning?
Yeah, Julius Rotolonio.
Rotolonio.
Yeah. That's good, Colin.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. No, thanks for sharing that. And again, we please visit wototo.com. Check out the videos. We'll share some links here as well that you can be a part and support everything Wototo.
Tons of ways, tons of options on the site to give and support and help and donate kids. And it's amazing. Eugene, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you guys next time.
On the Nonprofit Renaissance. You said donate kids, by the way. Let's not... Sure. Ways to donate kids.
We're trying to build leaders.
If I can donate Mike, I'll donate my kid. Send him to Wototo.
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah, we do boarding schools for your kids.
Yeah,
you want to do
edit? We can donate two kids.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Nonprofit Renaissance. We hope it ignites a renaissance in you and helps you go further and grow faster. Be sure to share, rate, and subscribe. And if you'd like to recommend or be a guest on our show, send us an email at podcast@versecreative.com. We'll be right back.